Grade 6 Conference, Lecture 33, Triads of Tenses, Part 2. Wow, that's a lot of numbers. 33, Triad, Part 2. You can keep it all straight, I'm sure. So now we look at the present perfect tense. So if we think of the past perfect as the astral body penetrating not only the etheric, but even pointing towards the physical, going back, we might say, to as far as we can go, to the physicality of ancient Saturn, the most perfect part of our nature. That's what the astral body illuminates in past perfect. Now it moves up and stands in the present world. We have to think of the astral body in this respect, that this is the higher astral, the better angel of the astral body that is often creating such difficulties for the sixth grader and beyond. The astral body should be thought of like the god Hermes, Mercury in sixth grade, Roman parlance, the messenger of the gods who moves between heaven and earth, who's comfortable as an intermediary between Venus and Mars and Vulcan. So here Mercury stops and contemplates himself and his relationship specifically to the etheric body. But it's very much a kind of, the etheric becomes a reflective apparatus for the astral body itself. So we're not going way back to Saturn. Here we could say that we are really on the Earth itself. And interesting that the Earth itself is divided into two phases, according to Steiner. The first half is Mars, the second half is Mercury. So we are really in the present moment, but nonetheless, it's a present that must draw on the past. So here are some simple sentences working with present perfect. I have seen that movie many times. I think I have met him once before. There have been many earthquakes in California. Have you read the book yet? Nobody has ever climbed that mountain. Has there ever been a war in the United States? Yes, there has been a war in the United States. So it's present, looking at the past, and it's essential that we realize that this is about an unspecified past. We're not going to be specific about the time because it's something that's still flowing over into the present. So the exact time is not important, and you can't use present perfect with specific time expressions such as yesterday, 1 year ago, last week, when I was a child, and so on. We can only use present perfect with unspecific expressions such as ever, never, once, many times, several times, before, so far, already. So we can't say, I have seen that movie 20 times yesterday. Doesn't sound right. I think I have met him once before 2 days ago. No, you can hear the awkwardness of that. It has to be something which is so true to the nature of the astral body, unspecific, a little bit vague, a bit distracted, sort of here and there, nebulous, very, very astral qualities. So in the same way that past perfect gives the sixth grader a foundation, an anchor, a sense of being firmly rooted in the past, present perfect gives the sixth grader a feeling of possibility, of unspecificity, of things that happened before but can still happen again. And it has its complexities. It's very interesting. And even grammarians often have a hard time really getting a handle on this, in the same way that fully fledged gods like Apollo could often have a rough time with Hermes and his mischievous pranks. Just as the past perfect relied on the helping verb had, so present perfect relies on the helping verb has or have. So that helping verb is in the present tense, and yet it's combined with the past participle. So this kind of inherent polarity that lives within the past, the present perfect rather, points to the astral quality of it. It's also interesting to think that the helping verb have means that I possess something, I own something, that this is the particular verb that gets used with the past perfect and particularly the present perfect. So it's very good to speak about experiences. I have had this experience. Interesting, in German, we speak of making an experience. In English, we speak of having an experience. So we could say that, if I say, for example, I have been to Germany, we could explain that to a sixth grader. Well, you've had the experience of being in Germany. You've been there once, maybe you've been there two or three times. You won't say with present perfect. You're just going to leave it unspecified. I think I have seen that movie before. I had the experience of seeing that movie. I experienced that movie before, but whether it was once or twice, how long ago, that doesn't matter. Joan has studied two foreign languages. She's had that experience of studying them. We don't know when. In college, a few weeks ago, it doesn't matter. There again, present perfect keeps things unspecified. It also is used to speak about change over time. So you could look at a sixth grader and say, you've grown since the last time I saw you. You've become more interested in school since I saw you last. A foreign language has become one of the most popular courses in the high school. My mastery of German has really improved since I started this school. So notice, nothing specific in terms of time, but there have been changes over time which are continuing. I could still keep improving. I could still keep growing. Also, accomplishments, things that were there in the past but which have ramifications for the present. Man has walked on the moon. We don't say man has walked on the moon in 1969. We just say that it has happened and leave it unspecified. Our son has learned how to read. When? First, second, third grade? Probably the person you're talking to knows that. They've seen you over a period of time, and now you can make this announcement. So you don't have to be specific about it. And we can also use it to describe an action which has not happened. We expected it. It hasn't happened yet, but it will happen. So you see how present perfect looks at the past, brings it into the present, and also takes a look into the future. It's the astral body working with the etheric, poised between past and future. So Thomas has not finished his homework yet. Susan hasn't mastered her German, but she's getting better. Tom still has not arrived. The rain hasn't stopped. So it expresses our wish for something to come to a culmination, a finish, but it's not completely there yet. So this is where we live in this particular tense. It's something that we might say is most quintessentially true to the nature of the sixth grader. We can also speak of it as saying we want to use it when something has happened at some point in our lives before now. So we don't speak of the exact time, something that happened before. And sometimes we want to limit the time that we're looking for in an experience. So once again, we can use things that are not too specific. Have you been to Germany in the last year? I have seen that movie many times in the last month. They have had 3 math quizzes in the last week. She graduated from the Waldorf School less than 3 years ago. She has worked for 3 different companies so far. My car has broken down 3 times this week. So when we say in the last year, in the last month, in the last week, that's very different from the specificity of saying last year. Have you been to Mexico last year? That wouldn't work. Have you been to Mexico in the last year? When it becomes a prepositional phrase, which is really helping to function as a modifier here, that makes it acceptable with present perfect. So it takes some work, it takes some thinking, and yet very often the sixth grader will be able to tell by listening that there's something wrong or something right in that sentence. So this is a tense with which you want to work. And with all of these, of course, you're going to give the students exercises, you're going to ask them in a composition, perhaps, to write an entire paragraph in past perfect, in present perfect. All of this can be done. Don't expect it to permeate their speech yet by any means. The important thing is that they start to develop a sense of how our language differs in its relationship to time. And this alone will help to bring their astral body into a balanced, poised connection with their higher members. Now we'll also look at the next aspect of this triad, future perfect, and see how the sixth grader is affected by speaking and writing in that tense.